Good morning. It is 9:38. I'm officially calling this meeting to order. Before we begin with the meeting, I have been asked to make a few announcements. First, the parking folks got a little confused. Were any of you issued a little yellow ticket? Okay, because I was. If you were, when you get to the when you're leaving and you get to the attendant, we have reminded them that we're here for the college and that we did have parking set aside. So you should not have a problem, okay? But we just double checked to make sure that wouldn't be a problem, okay? Second, wanted to give people an announcement that for the food that we're going to be having, yes?
So only one person got a yellow ticket.
I did.
Everybody else got a white ticket.
Okay.
That's the ticket that they're going to charge us. So do we have that straightened out?
That is supposed to be straightened out.
Yes.
But what do we do?
Just give them that ticket and tell them that you're with Helmetto College Faculty Senate and they'll be taken care of.
Perfect.
Okay. Thank you for asking and clarifying. We went to great lengths with the menu in order to find out if we could divide it by vegetarian, whether or not we could take out certain things. The only thing that might be problematic if some people avoid pork is the antipasto. But other than that, everything should be clearly labeled, okay, for lunch today. All right, with that being said, let's go ahead and start with a report from the Chancellor, Dr. Susan Elkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, everybody. Well, that was a good hearty good morning for a cold day in Columbia, right? A day, something like Friday the 13th, that we would have Faculty Senate meeting on Friday the 13th. So I hope all of you have had good luck getting here this morning and you continue to have good luck throughout the day. And we'll, instead of maybe focusing on Friday the 13th, maybe we'll think about tomorrow and Valentine's Day. So, happy Valentine's Day to all of you. Now, as we begin, as always, I want to express my very sincere thanks to all of you for your dedicated work to the Faculty Senate. I know this can sometimes be a thankless task, but it is such important work that you're doing on behalf of all of our Palmetto College faculty, as well as our students and our staff. So, thank you for your efforts. Now, also, as we begin, I see Jean Carano here in the room, and I think Summer may still be at her post outside with her overcoat on, making sure that everybody gets to the location where they need to be. So I'd like to thank them for their outstanding efforts in putting together the meeting and hosting it for us today. So let's give Jean and Summer a big hand. Then, on a more somber note, as we begin our meeting today here on the Columbia campus, it seems most fitting that, given the recent fatalities here on this campus, I did bring a student newspaper that focuses on remembering our lost professor. And I think in conjunction with that event, it's most fitting if we begin this meeting with a moment of silence. So would you please join me in a moment of silence for this event? Thank you. In conjunction with this very, very sad occurrence, I think we're all reminded of our top priority of making sure that our faculty, staff, and students are safe. You know, that safety is a number one priority for all of our campuses. So I want you to know that following this very unfortunate incident on this campus, we've already been working, the deans and I've already been working with the facilities people here in Columbia to try to get some additional help for our facilities projects around the campus. And Mr. Derek Huggins and his team has been most gracious in trying to put together some better processes to help us get our projects done on our campuses. But I actually met with Derek one day this week and said, you know, Derek, in conjunction with our facilities work, could we please think about campus safety? And I know that you all are doing multiple things on your campuses. I know that you've had mock drills. You know, in my past history, I've certainly participated in, you know, mock active shooter drills, both tabletop and actually real drills, where all of the community emergency preparedness folks came in. And so I just want you to know that I've talked to our police chief here, and he's certainly willing to help us work with all of our campus safety officials around the system so that we can be as prepared as we could possibly be for, you know, an active shooter or a tornado or a massive fire or any kind of an emergency procedure. You know, and saying that, I know we can never be fully prepared. You know, no matter how many times we practice, once an occurrence happens, you know, we never know what we're going to do. But I think it's just really important to take this very unfortunate situation and take it to heart and be as proactive as we can be on behalf of all of you, our other fellow faculty members, students, and the staff members at our campuses. So we'll be working with the deans, with all the safety and security officials on your campuses and in your communities to try to do much more to develop plans to be prepared. So please take that seriously as we do it. I know we're all kind of like teenagers. We think, oh, that'll never happen to us. You know, that car wreck is not going to happen to me. I'm not going to, you know, nobody's going to call my parents in the middle of the night. But I would ask that you be very serious about that as we think about what we can do to ensure the safety of all of you and our Palmetto College family. Now, this morning, I know I'll be brief with four quick updates. First, on some searches. We all realize there are several things going on that have necessitated some searches. First, I think you're all aware that our provost, Michael Amoritas, in mid-March will become the new chancellor of the University of Illinois Chicago. And as a result of that, the president has already put a search committee in place to replace the provost. And the goal is to have someone in office before fall term begins. So we're very pleased that our chair of the Faculty Senate, Dr. Jolie Fontenot, will be representing the Palmetto College campuses on that search committee. I think it's just very important, since that person will be working with us due to our accreditation, that we'd be represented on that search committee. So, Dr. Fontenot, thank you for your willingness to serve, and just wanted to let you all know that we are certainly being represented there. Second, I know Summer has sent out multiple communications about the couple of searches that are going on inside Palmetto College right now. First, we are almost to the end of a search for a new vice chancellor for e-learning. And that position it was developed such that the person in that role will actually be comparable to a dean of a campus, only they will be leading the virtual campus or Palmetto College online. So we are down to, we've interviewed one candidate last week. We have a candidate here. I had dinner with him last night, and he's here all day today. Last week's candidate was from Kennesaw State. The candidate who's here today is from Penn State Royal College, has been with Penn State Royal College for 17 years. So we'll see how this search ends up, but hopefully before too much longer, we will have somebody in the position of doing nothing but thinking about our online programs 24 hours a day, day in, day out. And then finally on the search agenda, as all of you know, that after 37 years, there is a face missing from today's Faculty Senate meeting, none other than Dr. Chris Plyler. Dr. Plyler has served us nobly for over 37 years around the system, and technically he will be retiring March 31st. But for some reason, Dr. Plyler just decided that after Christmas it would be a good time to use all that leave he's built up over the years, and he is still working online. He's still coming in. Gene's seeing him frequently as he is reviewing tenure and promotion documents, and he's still involved to some extent, but he is not coming to the office regularly. Instead, he's choosing to trim crepe myrtles and clean out the attic, and if it ever warms up, play golf. But we are certainly have a big opportunity to fill those big shoes of Dr. Plyler. So we have just launched a search for an executive vice chancellor. And then, as you all may know, Dr. Plyler wore two hats. He was a vice provost for Provost Amoritas working up through Palmetto, through the Columbia campuses on behalf of all of you and our accreditation. So, of course, the provost was his supervisor in that role. So as Provost Amoritas has done some reorganizing, especially of the evening school, he determined that Dr. Chris Nesmith would have a bit of a reduction in his role because the evening school is now going back to Columbia. So he determined that the vice provost position would be filled by Dr. Nesmith to fill that void of the evening school. And I do have this in writing for the minutes. So I don't even see Dr. Nesmith with us at this point this morning, but he will be serving as the associate vice provost under Helen Durfinghaus as the interim provost and then the new provost on behalf of Palmetto College. But then Dr. Plyler's other hat was vice chancellor of Palmetto College. So that's the position that we are searching to fill at this point in time, an executive vice chancellor / chief operating officer, someone to work on the day-to-day operational efforts of Palmetto College. So you all are aware Summer has sent several messages out with links to a website that actually has both the e-learning as well as the executive vice chancellor information, job descriptions, search committee members, timelines, all of that information is out there for you to see. And I'm very pleased to say that in filling Dr. Plyler's role, we know that it's critical to have faculty input. So we actually have your current chair of the Faculty Senate, Dr. Fontenot, as well as your immediate past chair of the Faculty Senate, Dr. Nims, and the incoming chair of the Senate, Dr. Henny Van Bullock, all serving on that committee with about a dozen other people to fill Dr. Plyler's role. Now, that search is just beginning. The information just went out right after Christmas or, end of December, early January. So there's a good bit of work left to be done on that, but I just want to keep you all abreast of that. Stay tuned to the website, and certainly, as we're doing with the e-chancellor positions, a presentation is being done as a part of the interview that is actually broadcast out to every campus in the system. You can certainly listen. You can ask questions. You can give feedback. There's a survey instrument asking for feedback. So I know that you all will really want to tune in, especially as we begin to get the candidates and narrow down people for that position. So please be involved in that process. All right, moving on to a second item, a quick reminder. We don't have the final information on this, but as I mentioned earlier, we are launching a new Chancellor's Innovations Grants Award process. We do have an ad hoc committee working with us on developing procedures for that. Again, your faculty senate leaders are involved in that, and we will have some procedures out very shortly with $250,000 of one-time funds that are focusing on finding those creative efforts out there, all those creative ideas for how we improve our recruiting, retention, and graduation efforts for our students. So I know many of you have got a lot of experience. Number one, we've got to get students in the door, but it's not just about access, it's also about success. So how can we help students be more successful, decrease time to degree, decrease the cost of education? And I know there's lots of creative thoughts out there, so be prepared, that will be coming out shortly as well. And then my third announcement, we had a fabulous day at Carolina Day at the State House. All the campuses had 12 to 15 people, students, faculty, staff. Great opportunity to interact with our legislative delegation, and so I want to thank everybody who's involved in that. And then my last comment is one that relates to a guest that we'll have farther on down in the agenda, and that is the chair of the Columbia Faculty Senate, Dr. Jim Knapp. Dr. Knapp has been very kind in my interactions with him, especially at the Board of Trustee meetings, to say, I'd really like to learn more about the regional campuses or the Palmetto College campuses. He said, I think we all need to pay attention. We need to work more closely together. He said, I would really like the opportunity to meet with your faculty senate leadership and to have a closer relationship between the Columbia Faculty Senate and the Palmetto College's Faculty Senate. So Dr. Knapp and then the incoming chair, Dr. Augie Grant, actually have met with, we've had lunch with Dr. Fontenot, with Dr. Van Book, Dr. Nims, and had conversations. We actually made a presentation. Dr. Fontenot and Dr. Van Bulk went to the Columbia Faculty Senate week before last, did a presentation about our Palmetto Colleges, and I've actually had several faculty members mention that and say how pleased they were to have more interaction and to learn about all the really wonderful things we're doing across the state. So they're coming to this meeting today. I think they're on the agenda, and I just want to tell you how pleased they are to have more interaction with you. And there's so many things we can all learn by working together. Actually, we developed Gene Carano's job description, kind of as we took a look at what the Columbia Faculty Senate had for support and said, well, if Columbia Faculty Senate has a support person, why don't we? So we developed that. That's one real positive outcome of our work together. So I just want you all to know how grateful I am for your work, but also for your work with them and for their reaching out to us. So with that said, I'll conclude and say again, thank you so much for all the work that you do for Palmetto Colleges, students, faculty, staff, on behalf of all of our family, and certainly be careful on Friday the 13th. Have a great Valentine's Day. I'll also leave this paper here if anybody wants to take a look. Thank you.
Next on the agenda is a report from the Dean of Extended University and Associate Provost, Dr. Chris Nesmith. In his stead, Janet Hudson.
Chris is on the search committee for the e-learning position, so that's why he's unable to be here today. So, as Dean of Extended University, his report is that about our faculty. Shelley Jones completed her PhD in the fall, and she's now been moved from instructor to a tenure track, so we're excited about that. Melanie Lynn, one of our faculty and senators here, has been accepted onto the program of the Southern States Communication Association. She'll be presenting in Tampa in April. And I have been named Faculty Associate Director for Innovative Teaching with the CTE, which is a halftime position. Now, in his role as Associate Provost or Associate Vice Provost, he has a report about the BOL and the BLS affairs. And he first has a quote from Dr. Plyler, who is working, as our Chancellor explained to us, on the tenure files. He says, "Please pass along that I continue to be impressed with and proud of superb faculty that we have working across the Palmetto College campuses. Reading the files affords me more of an in-depth understanding and appreciation of their great work." There was also Palmetto College course development grants. A committee of three have awarded money to 12 faculty to develop 12 new courses. And that amounts to $57,000. And those are across all of the campuses, so all five are represented in those grants. Currently, we have 336 BOL and BLS students. About two-thirds of those are BLS. That is a 15% increase from last year. There were 23 BLS graduates in December and 9 BOL. And for the spring, there are already 45 applications for graduation. So they're going out as fast as they're coming in. Okay. That's it. Thank you.
We'll move on to the reports from Palmetto College campus deans, starting with Dean Walt Collins, USC Lancaster. Oh, no, he's not here. Okay. Not awake yet. Sorry. Go ahead, Ron.
Dr. Collins sends his regrets for not being here today. He has submitted a report. Thank you, Madam Chair. And asked me to touch on a few points here. As of February 3rd, enrollment headcount at USC Lancaster is 1,255 students, and we are also serving 121 BLS and BOL students this semester. From the world of athletics, the student-athletes' average GPA for the fall semester was a 2.843, with the baseball team actually averaging a GPA of 2.991. Five of our student-athletes earned a 4.0 GPA, while 28 student-athletes earned a GPA somewhere between 3.0 and 3.9. Professor Bob Bundy, who teaches both biology and chemistry for us, has been selected to serve as chairman of the Lancaster County Council, so we are very pleased and proud of him. And we offer congratulations to Professor Chris Judge, whose archaeological work with the Kolb Archaeology and Education Project over in the PD was featured in this week's Florence Morning News, and there's a link to the article in the report. And one of our USC alumna, Kim Cunningham, who was a BLS graduate back in December, was recognized with the Student Social Justice Award at the recent Martin Luther King Breakfast in Columbia. And it was Professor Adam Biggs, who teaches African American Studies at USCL, who nominated Ms. Cunningham. We've opened a new computer lab in Bradley 113 this semester, much needed by both students and faculty. And we have renovation and construction projects continuing on campus, including a nursing simulation lab for the BSN program in Hubbard Hall. Couple of other items. We had a large contingent of USC Lancaster students who attended Carolina Day at the State House, and progress is continuing. We're working right now between our campus and USC Beaufort to create a pathway for students going into who might be interested in going into Beaufort's bachelor's degree program in hospitality and tourism management. Our 2015 commencement speaker will be Congressman Mick Mulvaney from the 5th District. We are very grateful to the City of Lancaster for funding new signs to direct folks to the Lancaster campus, as well as to the Native American Studies Center. And they're going to be located at 6 different points coming into Lancaster from different directions. And finally, the Educational Foundation of USCL has scheduled a 5K run, Laps for Lancers, a fundraising activity, which is going to be Sunday, March 21st. And if you've got any, yes, sir.
I know you work with Dr. Nesmith on the core questions. Is there any progress on that? Can you tell us where your committee is?
Please identify yourself for the minutes.
Catalano Lancaster.
Thank you.
The last Carolina Core Committee meeting was scheduled for this past week, and it was postponed until March. So we have not met since before the end of the semester. The latest update I can tell you, and I think this is very important for this body, Chemistry 101, which is no longer taught, if I understand correctly, on the Columbia campus, but is taught on several of our campuses. Faculty from the Palmetto campuses sent forward a proposal, and just this last week, the actual proposal from the committee was sent out to make sure all the campuses are good with it. So that Chemistry 101 is moving forward for inclusion in Carolina Core. So we are establishing a pathway whereby our campuses can propose courses. One of the things that we've done at Lancaster, I've asked the division chairs and I talked to my fellow academic deans about this, was getting each faculty member on the regional campuses to look at the courses you teach, identify those courses within general ed that are not currently in the core, and let's come up with a list. And then let's make a proposal as a united body to the Carolina Core Committee to have these courses added in. And I know the different disciplines, at least on the Lancaster campus, are moving, so I don't know what's happening on the other campuses.
In addition to that, just for more information, the folklore class is also being put forward by both Michelle Ross on the Sumter campus and Dr. Criswell on your campus, and that seems to have support from the anthropology department, so that one's likely to be on the Carolina Core as well. So that's being put forward by the Carolina College campuses.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Cox. Our next report comes from Dean Ann Carmichael, University of Salkehatchee.
Good morning. On January 16th, we kicked off our 50th anniversary of service to the people of the rural Low Country and with a balloon release. And we did this by inviting our first graduates to come and be a part of this event, as well as the Salkehatchee family. And the intent of that was it was symbolic of the 5,000 graduates who have started at Salkehatchee and gone all over the globe. And so it was well attended, and we think we're off to a good start for this year's festivities. As you know, February is Black History Month, and we have a series of programs that we plan for that, including spotlighting some of our successful graduates on our website and in the media. So we are, and that was an idea that came out of a student forum, which I thought was an excellent one. We've received a good bit of press in January because of the anniversary and also because of our sports program, but we are extremely pleased that on the Carolina road trip in USC Times that we were featured, and I think they're going to make the rounds to all the campuses, but there was a nice feature in this month's edition, and Dr. Lee Kai's cancer research was referenced, and I was very pleased to have him featured there. We just got word that Boeing South Carolina is going to sponsor our middle school camp. It's a STEM camp, aviation camp for children in the Salkehatchee region. Last year, they were affiliated with the camp, but they were so pleased with it that they decided to sponsor it. So we think that's a real plus for us to gain them as a partner. And also in terms of community outreach, the Salkehatchee Leadership Institute, it has put together an advanced leadership program sponsored by Southern Carolina Alliance. We were up here in Columbia recently on a pretty in-depth session on leadership metrics, and they also will be going to Washington to talk to their congressman about how to lobby for needs in their communities. We also recently received notification from the Department of Transportation that University Mile, and you've heard me talk about this before, this is a streetscape project, but it's also designed to improve not only the look of the 301, which runs parallel to our campus and is the entry to campus, but also to provide bike trails for our students and to do some decorative improvements that will sort of visually slow traffic down as well when you come into the area. It looks more residential. It's a $500,000 grant. It's going to the town of Allendale, but Salkehatchee wrote this in conjunction with Southern Carolina Alliance. So I think it shows that we are a good community partner and a good resource for our community, and we're really excited about that project, which should begin this summer. And finally, I want to, in terms of faculty scholarship, I want to mention Rodney Stewart and Arthur Mitchell, who have authored books, are going to be attending the Author's Dinner at President Pastides' home on March 4th. And Tom Bragg has had his manuscript accepted for publication, so we look forward to hearing more about that. And Dr. Aaron Ard has had had a presentation accepted by the Academy of Business Research. And Dr. Ard is also going to be a guest lecturer at the Darla Moore School of Business on Austrian School of Economic Analysis. And if there are no questions, that concludes my report, and I'll submit a report electronically. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Carmichael. Next, we have the report from USC Sumter.
Thank you. Good morning. Dean Sontag sends his apologies. He's also on the search committee for the Vice Chancellor of E-Learning, so he's not able to be here. I extend you my apologies. I'm suffering from something of a chest cold, so my voice may crack and squeak in here, but it's nothing personal. So he's given me a report. It's broken into several sections, so I'll indicate those as we go. Students is the first section. We also sent a delegation, Sumter campus did, to Carolina Day. About 10 students went with both Dean Sontag, with Dean Watts, as well as our mascot, Blaze. And they all, according to reports, did had a wonderful time and were very impressed the delegation quite deeply with their questions and their interaction. In terms of enrollment, USC is Sumter. Is our enrollment this spring is up significantly from where it was last spring. Looking at the numbers, we're still trying to figure out where the enrollment gains were concentrated, and it looks as though a lot of the improvement was in retention. We've been able to have the students come back from semester to semester and year to year in higher numbers than in the recent past. Faculty and staff, we have several searches going on in all faculty and staff areas. We're faculty searches. We have two tenure track searches at the present, political science and speech. Those candidates have been, in many cases, already identified the finalists, and we'll be bringing them into campus in the next few weeks for interviews. Staff searches include both a new position in admissions, a temporary position in the recruitment aspect, and we'll begin a search in the financial aid as well due to a retirement from one of our long-standing employees, Gene Angelo. Administrative searches, we just opened the search for the Associate Dean for Academics and Academic Affairs, and so that search will happen within the next month or so. In terms of faculty accomplishments, we've had many faculty this spring and last semester have papers accepted for publication and presentation at national and international conferences, and we are happy to say that we try to support them financially where we can, and we're proud to be able to do that. Four of our faculty did receive the online course development grants from Palmetto College to develop courses this year, so we're also very proud of that, and several others have grants submitted for scholarly work that are still in process. In terms of campus and physical plant, we've done a lot of landscaping in the recent months. In terms of many of the trees had been neglected, some were dying, certain parts of them needed to be trimmed back. That was a very extensive project, but that has been completed, and the place looks much more cared for than it did before. Much of that had been neglected for financial reasons. Our parking lot, one of them was in fairly difficult shape. That has been repaved. Thanks to a grant from Patricia Moore Pastides, we were able to secure the materials needed to build some very nice garden boxes as part of our environment and our biology 270 classes. And over Christmas break, we had a number of faculty and a remarkable number of students, this was before classes even began, came out to help do some bed raisings. And I think we raised six very substantial garden beds that will be very, very attractive addition to the campus and useful in education purposes. Furthermore, the Sumter Junior League has committed to raise money for our campus to erect a outdoor classroom that will have lots of benches for seating and pergola type of covering, so we're excited by that. That should be in place by the end of the semester. And we are beginning also, in terms of updates and modernization, to transition a number of our smart rooms from a projector screen, projector system to a monitor system like this. The first one is in the science building, and it will be done within the next few weeks, and then others will follow as the need arises. And finally, in terms of fundraising and budget, USC Sumter is proud to announce that it has raised 82% of our $3.85 million goal towards Carolina's Promise. Questions? Thank you.
Next, we have Dean Alice Taylor Colbert from USC Union.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome.
This is the quietest room I have been in, and I don't know how long. Are you all asleep, or are we ready to go, or something? Maybe it was that cold weather as we came in from the parking garage, and we just need to warm up and move around. So if you need to stand up and move around while I'm talking, please feel free to do so. Carolina Day, we too brought a delegation, had some students, had some really good interaction with our delegation, especially our local representative from Union, Mike Anthony, who was working really hard for us to get a Student Academic Success Center on the campus, and is also going to be our commencement speaker, because we too are celebrating our 50th anniversary. We're kicking that anniversary off a little bit differently. We decided that we wanted to celebrate beginning in the summer and going through the academic year next year, since we opened the doors in September of 1965. So we decided to do that. But there are already some things happening. The latest thing that happened just yesterday, and you have to understand that we have been driving the same old vans for 10 years, and the ceiling cloth is falling down, and the transmission on one of them is not doing too well. So we have a new Ford Equinox, and we're going to be getting a new van pretty soon, and they're spiffy, and they got a few tail feathers on them. So anyway, we're really excited about that. We also have a new Lawrence Center director that's going to transform our student population in the Lawrence area. We're excited to have Matt Dean on board. We have record enrollment again this spring. I hope that you will hear me say this for years to come every time I get to stand up in front of you. We have 637 students, and we're still over that 500 FTE that allows us to have another representative for this body. Last year we had 562, so you can see the difference in growth. We're serving Broome High School in Spartanburg this time. Our admissions and financial aid staff have won an award from the South Carolina Commission on Higher Education for their work with student applications. Our bookstore that I've been talking to you about ever since I came on board and have been trying so hard to get open will actually open on the first day of our literary festival, which is March the 20th. And we'll have a grand opening ceremony sometime in April on an evening, and maybe you can join us, or hopefully you'll come to that literary festival. A wonderful donor and local supporter, Mrs. Barbara Rippey, has given us money for the furniture in the student center that's behind the bookstore, and has also contributed funding for the student center courtyard. In total, over the next several years, Mrs. Rippey has given us $100,000. We will begin a 50 for 50 campaign soon for our 50th anniversary, and that the money that we're asking, $50, will buy yourself a brick with your name on it, and it's going to line our courtyard behind the student center. So that project will help our campus beautification campaign. Wanted to let you know that Randy Ivey, John Crocker, Steve Lowe, Caitlin Wade, and Annie Smith are working hard on that literary festival. The theme is 5 going on 50, since we're not quite there yet from our standpoint. Noted author James Applewhite is going to be our keynote speaker. We also have Shelby Stevenson, John Lane, Tally Johnson, Betsy Teeter, Ray McManus, Terry Kennedy, James Everett Kibler, and a lot of other wonderful writers and poets coming to join us on March 20th, 21st, so please put that down. I am distressed. I'm a historian, and I can't go to the South Carolina Historical Association. It's happening the exact same time, but I'm going to be there on my campus enjoying the wonderful literature. My PhD is actually in American Studies. I do both things, literature and history. So, from the faculty, I wanted to let you know a few highlights. I probably am missing something. Please forgive me if I am. Maggie Aziz is going to be presenting a paper, Bell's Religious Identity Scale, reconceptualized for the study of Muslim religious identity development at the March meeting of the Southern Sociological Society. Randy Lowell is going to present a paper, Role of Motivation in Incidental Vocabulary Acquisition During Silent Reading, at the March meeting of the Southeastern Psychological Association. Excuse me, I got through the title and then couldn't say the association name. Chris Reinhardt has been invited to Holloman Air Force Base in Alamogordo, New Mexico in June to learn more about drone warfare, which is the subject of her latest research. And Tara Fatimi's team pregnancy prevention grant has been renewed, and so she's actively involved in that. And if you want to hear me speak, I'm going to Lancaster to USCL to speak about Cherokee Crossings on March the 20th. Well, we have lots of things going on, as you can see. On May the 9th, we're going to have our first major event party is being thrown for us by Mrs. Tacoa Switzer for the opening of her Piedmont Physic Garden, a healing garden, on her property, and to honor our 50th anniversary. So May the 9th, we'll kick off our big events for the next year. And on Founders Day, October 9th of next year, we're going to have a very, very special ceremony. President Pastides and Mrs. Pastides will also join us. We hope to have that student center completed and hope you will come and have fun with us in our new Patrons Park. We're seeking and have secured some funding already, but we're seeking to transform our small rural town campus over the next year and a half, and I think you'll see a different place. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
That concludes our reports. Break for standing committees, rights and responsibilities is in room 368. Welfare is in room 367. System affairs is in room 366. Executive committee, room 365. Dean's meeting, room 364. Luncheon will be at noon. Thank you all.